Hi, Patrick Cox here, and we're on the road to Utah today, which is kind of an unlikely place for a language learning revolution.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor.
SoundWorks.
SoundWorks.
From PRI.
It's no secret that Americans are, well, terrible at language learning. Almost as bad as Brits. Native English speakers in general just can't be bothered. For example, nearly 80% of the U.S. is monolingual. And of the 20% that do speak another language or two, well, most of them grew up in homes where English wasn't spoken. Making things even worse, at least as far as language learning is concerned, is education, quote, reform, the No Child Left Behind law, which introduced a whole load of new standardized testing in public schools, which had some side effects, unintended perhaps, like the cancellation of foreign language programs in many, many school districts. With all those tests to prep for, why waste valuable time on learning languages? Well, some people have persisted, and language learning is now making a modest comeback in some American schools. And it's pretty easy to predict the states where this is taking hold, this new appetite for language learning. States like California, Texas, New York, states where a lot of school students don't speak English at home. And then there's Utah, conservative, landlocked Utah. This state has embarked on a massive expansion of language teaching in public schools, starting in first grade. And before I go any further, full disclosure here. This is a subject close to my own heart. My kid goes to a school like the one that you're going to hear about. Half the day spent learning in English, half the day in Chinese. The struggles and resistance from parents and teachers that this Utah school experienced when it tore up its old curriculum and introduced the language program. Well, I'm all too familiar with those. Something pretty similar happened at my kid's school. So I wasn't going to report this story. A little too close to home to be fully impartial. But I have known for some time that it's something that's happening in many, many schools. So I didn't go to Utah. But the Big Show's Nina Porzucchi did. Here's her report.
When it comes to per student spending in public schools, of all 50 states, Utah comes in dead last. And what's more, Utah declared English as their official and only language, passing an English-only law back in 2000. So what accounts for this language push?
Listen to the bass!
One man.
Good morning, Utah. This is Senator Howard Stevenson, and you're listening to Inside Utah Politics, Setting the Record Straight, where we bring you 2 hours of red meat radio as an alternative to those sissy Saturday morning garden shows. Good morning, one and all.
How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. Thank you for...
Republican State Senator Howard Stevenson calls himself a, quote, government watchdog. His idol? Ronald Reagan. Safe to say he's wary of the government messing in his business. But in 2008, on a trip to China, where the government messes in everyone's business, Stevenson had what he describes as an epiphany. He met a lot of Chinese students who spoke with him fluently in English. They were bright and eager and articulate in this foreign language.
So on the plane ride home, I was worried about America's future. I was excited for the Chinese and for their rising nation. But I wondered, what could I do as a policymaker to assist in helping the United States connect to these rising nations?
Stevenson promptly introduced a bill to fund the teaching of critical languages like Mandarin in Utah's public schools. His fellow policymakers weren't exactly on board at first.
Some legislators were saying, you can't expect children to learn such a complicated language as Chinese. And I reminded them that there are hundreds of millions of children in China who are learning it quite well. And they do well. Why can't our children? Are our children's brains wired differently than a Chinese child's brain? I don't think so.
Stevenson argued that a multilingual Utah would be good for the state's economic future. A state full of fluent Chinese speakers is a state open for business. His bill passed. It was signed into law by John Huntsman, governor at the time, who incidentally is a Chinese speaker himself. Now, 7 years after Stevenson's plane ride epiphany, there are intensive language programs at 118 schools in Utah, and 5 languages being taught: Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, and yes, Mandarin. which is what Christina Pudity's second grader, Tiati, is learning.
This is what she brought home yesterday. I mean, this is her name. That must be the date. So I know that this is math. She's starting to learn characters, like whatever this is. So that's 21, that's 35. And she knows that. She can write 1 through 100 in characters. She showed me the other day.
Tiati started learning Mandarin as a first grader in her neighborhood school in the community of Santa Clara. It's in southern Utah. Las Vegas, more than 2 hours away, is the closest biggest city. Think arid desert landscape and red rock formations. Not too many adult Chinese speakers here. Christina often can't even decipher her daughter's homework.
If she hadn't put that there and there weren't pluses and equals, I don't think I would know that this is math.
Learning math in Chinese is a part of Utah's dual language immersion model. Yes, it's a horrible, jargony sounding phrase. But it basically means that half the school day and half the subjects, like math, are taught in the target foreign language, and the other half in English. When Christina and I went to pick up Tiati from school that day...
There she is! She's in the purple. What'd you do today?
She was a bit shy about speaking Chinese on tape. Not so shy about singing.
Did you sing any songs?
Yeah, the cleanup song. I know what it is.
收拾收拾，让大家一起收干净。收拾收拾，大家一起收干净。Xiao Feng is Tiati's second grade Chinese teacher.
And I had another American name, Fiora.
Fiora?
Yes.
Fiora came to this tiny Utah town from Chongqing, a city of 29 million people.
It's very famous for the hot pot.
Fiora came through a Chinese government-funded teaching exchange program. That's part of the way Utah can afford this program. Not all parents at Santa Clara Elementary were thrilled when they heard a teacher from China was coming to the school, or that Chinese was going to be taught at all.
My initial thoughts were like, oh my gosh, you know, there's already so much our children have to do. I push hard on my kids. I expect a lot. But I just think there's a fine line of pushing too much, too hard, too young.
Summer Lang has 2 children at Santa Clara. She's also one of Christina Pudi's very best friends. And let's just say things got a little tense between them.
It kind of got ugly there for a while.
Lang and several other parents started a petition against the program. She wasn't alone in questioning the importance of learning another language in a world in which so many people speak English.
And of course, you know, other countries have to learn English too, but that's because everyone comes here. How are we to pick one place where we're going to become fluent as a second language? English is kind of the universal, everyone speaks it type of a thing. So I don't know.
Ultimately, things cooled down. The principal reassured parents that Chinese immersion was optional. Lang did not enroll her children. It's particularly tough because this is where she went as a kid.
I went to Santa Clara Elementary, and we've chosen to stay here and raise our family here because, you know, you like that tradition. And change is hard, whether it's something good, positive, negative.
Change is hard. But Utah just might be in a unique position to pilot this kind of program. Language learning isn't such a wild notion in this very Mormon state. For generations, Mormon missionaries have gone around the world, most stopping in Utah to learn the local language of their destination. Back at the Pudity House in Santa Clara, Christina's husband Michael jokes about the Mormon question.
I don't know.
You
how
told
I got the
wife
so lucky,
they're doing this for the church.
Hmm.
You haven't told them.
Doing what?
They're both members of the Church of Latter-day Saints. In fact, Christina learned Portuguese on her mission in Portugal.
See, there's 88,000 Mormon missionaries out in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
But if we open up China, you know, with all those people,
yeah,
we're going to need like
another 88,
another million missionaries. So I figure with all these kids they have here that they're learning Chinese.
That's in the back of our heads, but that's not why we're doing it.
Most Mormons don't think this way, Christina tells me over and over. Really, she says, she's most excited about the little ways in which learning Chinese will allow her daughter to connect with others right here in the U.S.
I'm excited now, but I'm excited for the future when we could just go to a Chinese restaurant or when she sees a tour bus at Disneyland or something like that, and she can really just go back and forth, back and forth.
Or perhaps she could be leading that Chinese tour bus someday in the national parks of Utah. At least that's what Senator Howard Stevenson likes to envision, connecting his landlocked state of Utah to the rest of the world. For the world, I'm Nina Porzucchi, Santa Clara, Utah.
My name is Nadine Hansey, and I'm principal here at Santa Clara Elementary.
And Principal Hansey, she told Nina a little bit more about all that debate and tension when the school first introduced the dual language program. Something, she said, had to change because enrollment at the school was tanking. Still, was all this language learning the right way forward?
My first thought was, are we crazy for even trying to put this in? It was a little scary because I knew I would be changing the climate of our school a little bit to something new. New is good, but it was a little frightening. And I wasn't really gung-ho either. I was looking at all the options saying, is this really the best way to solve the declining enrollment? Santa Clara is very fiercely proud of their elementary school, and they're very connected to the school. And doing something like this, they knew it would change the way our elementary school is, and they didn't want that change.
What do you think accounted for like people's a little bit of trepidation? Like, why are they nervous about dual immersion? Like, what was the fear?
I think the fear of changing what our school climate would be is a big one. I'm not sure if they didn't want to lose any teachers and didn't understand that we weren't going to lose teachers. We were just going to add this piece to our school. I think that some of our teachers were a little bit worried about bringing on this program because they knew it would eventually affect their grade level and what changes that would be to their grade level. And because they were a little nervous, they have a lot of parent friends. So I'm sure just the discussion, oh, why are we doing this? Why can't we just stay the way we are? But they also did not understand that our enrollment brings in our budget and everything hinges on being viable with numbers. And so I think as we've started it, the fear, I hope, has lessened some. I don't hear a lot of negative coming to me from the community. So I think they're getting used to the idea now.
I mean, you must have had a lot of discussions with teachers, too, that were just like, why are we doing this? Like, we're going to lose our jobs. Like, eventually, I don't speak Chinese. Like, how is this going to affect me when the kids hit fourth grade and I don't teach in Chinese? You must have had those conversations.
You've hit on every one of them. We did. We had many group discussions about it.
What is your experience with learning a language?
I don't know a language. I've never learned a dual language, another language in my life. I admire people who do. And I have other teacher friends who have said it's the only way to learn it when you're young. And so I wasn't against it, but I was pretty clueless.
Which meant that Principal Hansi really didn't know what to expect on day one. How would the kids respond?
I was so worried for them. I thought we were going to have kids in tears, going half of their day not understanding one word that the teacher said. I can't even imagine. I thought they're going to go home and cry. We prepared the parents saying, give it a chance. Not one student was upset. They just went in and started listening. And I was really amazed. We didn't have any students wanting to pull out of the program. No students going home crying, saying they hated school. It was incredible.
Nadine Hansi, principal of Santa Clara Elementary in Santa Clara, Utah. Okay, back to State Senator Howard Stevenson, the man behind this big push for dual language immersion in Utah. He told Nina about his own experiences in language learning, in a manner of speaking. First at school learning Spanish, and then on his Mormon mission as a 19-year-old, trying to get to grips with British English. Here he is.
I studied Spanish in 7th and 8th grade, and I can remember a lot of the dialogues, we called them.
Like what? What do you mean?
¿A dónde vas ahora, Juan? A la clase de español. Ah, tú estudias español. Nosotros también. Bueno, vamos a la clase.
Wow, you do have a memory for this, like, remembering, like, all of the dialogue.
Albóndigas, ¿no te dije? No seas tonta. Hace poco que la vi durmiendo en la sala.
So you use them all the time, these.
Yeah, I lay on my Spanish to Spanish speakers, and they laugh. They say, you have very good pronunciation, but you don't seem to know what you're saying.
So that was your sort of experience.
That was my experience with language. And then I served an LDS mission to England. And on the first day we got there, we were attracting, knocking on doors. And my companion was conversing with this English lady on the doorstep. And I thought, I don't understand a word she's saying. I think they took me to a Cockney area of town just to scare me. That I thought, why didn't I have some language training before I came?
So then you were pretty good at Cockney now, huh?
Right, mate. Punch you in the throat, won't I? I'll kick you with me bova boots.
So that's Howard Stevenson's Cockney English. A bit dated. I haven't heard the expression bova boots for a really long time. They are, if I remember correctly, steel-tipped Dr. Martens, much loved by football hooligans, or soccer hooligans. Now for his Chinese. Here he is telling Nina about an episode on a trip he made to China with a bunch of other Americans.
My party and I were at a restaurant being served by a lovely Chinese girl, and I had learned some Chinese phrases in college many, many years before that from a Chinese girl that I knew, and I asked her to teach me some phrases, and I am really good at remembering phrases and the right pronunciation of the words. I just have a memory for songs and phrases, but I don't always connect the meaning of the phrase correctly. And in this case, I wanted to compliment the girl on her service and just say a nice phrase that I thought I remembered. But instead, I said, "Wo ai ni ke shi ni bu ai wo," which means, I learned after her laughter, "I love you, but you don't love me." So
did everybody at the table just bust up?
Well, they couldn't speak English either, or Chinese either, and so they were kind of wondering, why is she laughing? And then she explained what I had said. And
Utah State Senator Howard Stevenson. Wonder how many other languages he speaks just a little bit of. That's it for this time anyway. We have photos from Utah at pri.org/language. You can also get there via the World in Words Facebook page. I'm on Twitter. My handle is Patricox, PatriCox. And I've been in Iceland, by the way, talking to people about the Icelandic language. That accounts for the long gap between pod episodes. But in a future pod, Icelandic, an intriguing, beguiling language, coming up soon. Next up, though, next week, will probably be something on poetry. It's all the rage in China. See you then.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.